Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said everything we have is taxed, even our patience. We appreciate this opportunity of Bible study today. We're glad that you're listening, and we hope that our study this week concerning the Word of God will be of help to all who do listen. All right, let's turn our attention to a study of, 1 Kings chapter 13. In this account, we have an account of an occasion when the people of God had divided. There was a division in the kingdom. Israel was no longer united, but there was a division in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom was known as Judah. The northern kingdom was known as Israel. And Jeroboam had led a rebellion against Rehoboam and had gone to the north and was there setting up his own kingdom. In doing this, he had set up an altar at Bethel. And the occasion we're looking at is a time when the prophet of God had been told to go to Bethel and to prophesy against the altar that is there. Well, he was told also, as you go, now don't you return the same way, and don't eat or drink while you're there. The young prophet goes on his way to do the will of God, and he comes to the altar, and there's the king who is presiding over the sacrifices of that day. And you remember the record says that the king stretched forth his hand, and his hand was withered. Well, of course, he calls upon the prophet of God to see to it that his hand is healed. And all of this takes place without the presence of another man who said he was a prophet also. But he had some sons who were there, and they came back and reported the account to their father. And as a result of it, their father overtook this prophet of God, told him, I want you to come to my house and eat. God has appeared to me. God has told me that you can come to my house and eat, and you don't need to worry about not going back another way. These are things that just are overlooked. And the record says the prophet, this is the older prophet, lied unto him. Well, as a result of that, when the young prophet returned and was eating at the table of this prophet, the God of heaven appeared to him and told him, you'll never return to the sepulchre of your fathers. You're not going to go home. You're going to be killed. And that's exactly what happened on the way home. Well, all of that we've said and we've thought about in order to impress on our minds the fact that it's a terrible thing for a person to lie. Here is a man who claimed to be a prophet of God, and yet he lied unto him. That is, he brought about something that eventually led to the death of this young prophet. What a terrible thing to have such a responsibility. But you know, there are many liars in our world today, and you're aware of that. We've even come to the place sometimes in our society when we have tried to excuse lying and say, well, it's not really so bad. We talk about big lies and little lies. That minimizes in the thoughts of people, the significance of those big black lies. It tells us, well, there's a difference in the kind of lies that we tell. And then sometimes we do them by color. There are white and black lies. A white lie is a small one, but a black one is bad. And so you look at the difference in regard to these things, and we're simply seeing an attempt on the part of men to excuse lying, saying it's all right. Now, when the Bible talks about lying, such as in the Revelation letter, chapter 21 and verse 8, the record says, after naming the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. When I read that passage, I look to see if the passage says all who tell big lies. will be in that lake of fire? Or does it say those who tell the little white lies will be exempt? Well, it isn't very hard to understand that the Bible makes no such distinction. We need to be telling the truth and talking to people about it, us, about the truth as it's revealed in the Word of God. So when a person listens to a lie, I think we need to think about the origin of lying. I look at a passage in John 8 and verse 44, and I hear Jesus saying to some people, "You're of your servant, you are the servants of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Now I can see from that passage where lies came from. Satan is the father of lies. And so it becomes apparent when I look at this particular passage that lies have their origin with Satan. And I ought to stay away from lies as much as is possible for a person to do. Certainly, we believe that all liars will answer for that which they have done. Therefore, we ought to be speaking the truth at all times. Now think for a minute about the consequence of lies. When someone lies to you, what may be the consequence? Well, sometimes it leads to terrible distress. We're very upset because someone has lied, has not told us the truth. Sometimes the consequence even go beyond that. Sometimes there are physical consequences that come our way as a result of a person lying to us. Well, the question is not what does a lie do to us along those lines, but let's take it a step more. What does a lie do to us when it is a religious lie? Now, the question might be in your mind, what in the world is a religious lie? Well, that's just simply a lie that someone tells in the matter of religion. We must tell the truth, especially when we think about the consequence on other people, and we think about what a lie will do to others round about us. If a man is going to preach, he needs to be careful he's telling the truth, because his lying to another person will not only lead to his destruction, but the destruction of the individual to whom he lied. Jesus said, "Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Isn't that exactly what happened in 1 Kings chapter 13? There was an old prophet who lied. He answers for his lie, but there was a young prophet. What about the young prophet? Was he responsible? Well, he was told the will of God. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he listened to the lie, and as a result of it, he was killed before he returned to his home. The point being that the person who tells the lie and the person who believes the lie are both in jeopardy. It isn't hard then to see that the Bible teaches that we must dwell with truth. "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." John 17 and verse 17. Any of us who accept the responsibility of teaching other people about the salvation of their soul have a grave responsibility to speak the truth and not to in any way deceive those who are listening. We appreciate this opportunity of talking to you about this matter for a little while. We'll have more to say about it tomorrow. We hope you'll be listening. Remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.